So the California gold rush occurred, and as it was occurring, they would get a little flash in their pans. They would get a little glitter in their pans. And as they would see that glitter, they would get excited. And so many times, more times than not, it was just a flash in the pan. And that's where we get that term. Another one that kind of we can relate to today is the term one-hit wonder. Those of us that listen to a lot of music are all very aware of a thing called a one-hit wonder. And if you're an artist, you certainly want more than one hit, that's for sure, right? I don't know, some people say it'd be nice just to have one, but anyhow. But here's another one that I was thinking about to kind of describe all of what I'll be talking about today in introduction. And that is, as a sports fan, I think about when I'm watching a game and one team will come out. And I think last night probably is a really good example of that. We had one team that came out and took the lead 27-0. Anybody watch that last night? Anybody watch the game last night? A few of us. Well, it was 27-0, and then the next thing you know is that team lost 31-30, I believe it was. So isn't that something to have a lead of 27-0 and actually lose the game? And so anyway, we get all excited about maybe a really strong first quarter or really strong half, and then you can still lose the game by not playing the second half, that's for sure. My sermon this morning's title is Serving Christ to the Finish, or Just Be a Flash in the Pan. And so the Word of God talks about the fact that life is a vapor, or in some translations, it's a mist. It's something that's kind of there, and then it's gone. And I think that we all, if we haven't realized that yet, we certainly will, but I think there's a lot of us that realize that's happening. Now, I'm going to be preaching from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. At least that'll be the text verses. I have a few other verses also. And if you're turning to Philippians, I'm actually going to start in chapter 2, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. And I want to read to you Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 to kind of set this up. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, the Word of God says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." We've talked about this a lot. We've talked about this verse, and we've talked about how this verse is not talking about we work for our salvation. What this verse, as we've discussed, is we have discussed that it means that when we're saved, that what's changed on the inside, we start working out on the outside. In other words, Christianity, serving Christ, being a Christian, is an operational thing. It's not just something that happens and then we're done. It's an operational thing that we do, as far as that's concerned. Now, let me ask you this question this morning. How many people like to watch the Summer Olympics? How many people like to watch the Summer Olympics? Some of us do, some of us don't. I do, way before it became something really political, especially. It was always nice to watch it. But one of the things that when we're watching the Summer Olympics is the sprinters. I think the sprinters are probably my favorite thing in the Summer Olympics because it's amazing to me how fast people can actually run, human beings can run, almost as fast as me, ha ha ha. But anyway, I'll move on that one. But here's what I want to say about the Christian life. The Christian life is not a sprint. The Christian life is not a sprint. It is actually, it's a distance effort. It's how many of us, when we are watching the Olympics, like to watch the marathon aspect of it? Man, I tell you what, that's like watching paint dry, isn't it? When we watch the marathon guys, I mean, they'll switch over there and they'll show them grabbing a water and they're running along and then 30 minutes later, there they are still grabbing another water and maybe dumping on themselves and they just talk about it. It's really boring, actually. And what's that? It's not boring? Okay. There's always somebody in the crowd. There always is. That say, hey, that's my favorite one. Yeah, yeah. But for the rest of us, we'll put it that way. But I actually ran distance. I was not a sprinter. I actually ran distance, believe it or not, a few pounds ago. And it was something that I did, and I enjoyed it. but I enjoyed doing it, not actually watching it. That's for sure. But you know, that's the thing, that Christianity, it is a distance thing. We have to keep going and keep going and keep going. I mean, it's not just a sprint. And so I want to read to you Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Put in your notes Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. Listen to this. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So when we look at this verse here, it's telling us that first of all, when we say that we're not ashamed of the gospel, we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of the gospel is the reason why we are saved in the first place. Like, for example, we could sit here and rationally discuss things. People aren't saved by just rationally discussing things. One of the things that happens in the Word of God is the gospel goes out. And as the gospel goes out, God starts instilling faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when someone is saved, the gospel goes out to them. And the Bible tells us that the gospel reaches down into people's souls. It's a supernatural thing. It's not just something like, oh, that makes sense. Even though we can look at a lot of things and say that it certainly does make sense. The way that we're saved is because of the power of the gospel going out there. And so Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to save. And so what I want to say to all of us is the gospel does two things. First of all, for a Christian, the gospel is something that we shouldn't be ashamed of, that we're sharing with people, that we're sharing our faith, that we're sharing the Word of God. And the reason why we do that is because of the fact that it's reaching people's souls. But the other thing that we do that the gospel does is it changes us. It changes us on the inside, and because it changes us, it changes the way that we live. It changes the way that we operate. There's power. We're instilled faith. When we look at this here, it says that it's by faith that we come to know Jesus Christ. It says revealed from faith for faith. Paul says it's revealed from faith. So God brings faith to the individual, and it is actually something that will actually instill faith in us as a Christian. It'll be something that goes on and on and on and on. So my first point this morning is imperfection is not a reason to quit. Imperfection is not a reason to quit. We don't want to get in the way of what God is doing for us. We don't need to get in the way. And what I want to say is, a lot of times we get in the way, we think that because I'm a Christian, and a lot of people look at Christians, and we're even told, you Christians, the people that aren't Christians, say, you Christians are not any better than me, and that kind of thing. Well, we certainly aren't perfect. We've been changed on the inside. And that's the thing that it's important for us to know, is we've been changed on the inside. We have been made perfect in our soul. Our soul is made righteous with the righteousness of Christ. That's where the perfection is. But on the outside, in our flesh, it's something that salvation works from the inside and continues to work on the outside. In other words, we're growing. And that's the thing that happens in salvation. So many people talk about salvation. You need to be saved where you can go to heaven. And you do. But you also need to be saved to where you can actually grow, to where you can continue to get better and better and better. So one of the things that we'll see here in the Word of God that Paul shares with us as we get to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 is the fact that he tells us that I'm not perfect. Now, if Paul's not perfect, then I think that there's a lot of us in trouble as well, right? A lot of us can also say that we're not perfect. But listen to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 as we talk about imperfection is not a reason for a person that is a Christian to quit. And a lot of people say, wow, I've made all these mistakes. I'm just going to quit. It's not worth it. But listen to what he says. He says, not that I have already obtained this. Obtained what? In verse 11, he actually mentions the resurrection and how that we share in the resurrection, and that's how we have eternal life. And so he's saying, not that I've already obtained this or are already imperfect. He's saying, I'm not a perfect Christian. I haven't arrived yet, Paul says. And he also says, I haven't actually been resurrected yet. And brothers and sisters, that's where we actually achieve the perfection that God wants for each and every person. And he's saying, that hasn't happened yet. But even though that hasn't happened, he says, I press on to make it my own. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to keep pushing on until the resurrection occurs for me, he says. And that's the way it is for us. We continue to press on and continue to grow and continue to serve Jesus and get better and better and let the Word of God change us as we live our lives until we what? Till we also experience the resurrection. And that's what he's saying. He says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. In other words, he's saying, I may not be perfect, but I belong to Christ, and I'm also going to be made perfect because of Christ. And then in verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. In other words, once again, he's reiterating the fact I haven't arrived yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So we can certainly find satisfaction in Christ. We can all find satisfaction in being a Christian and actually to grow. That's where we can find our satisfaction. And we certainly can find our dissatisfaction by living in the flesh and not growing. One of the biggest obstacles for every person is, I need to grow. I need to grow to where I can be in a closer relationship with Jesus, to where I can actually have a better testimony. But I also need to grow because it helps me to actually win the battle against my flesh. And this is what Paul is talking about. He's going, I'm not perfect, but I certainly want to keep trying. I don't want to quit. I don't want to throw in the towel, that's for sure. You know, one of the things that a team can't do, like for example, in the second half of that game that I mentioned, a team can't become complacent. If they become complacent, more than likely they're going to get beat. Either that or they're playing a really bad team, you know, or something like that. But the fact of the matter is, a team can't become complacent. If we talked about our work ethics, like for example, as I look out here today, everybody works, right? All of us have a job or have had jobs and that kind of thing. We didn't want to be a complacent worker. It wasn't what we wanted to do. We wanted to be the best workers that we could be, right? Certainly, I thought I'd get a bunch of amens on that one. Because I know that when you talk to people, everybody's always the best worker that there is, or ever was, or ever will be, right? Yeah, now we get Gabriel fired up. There we go. Yeah, he's like, yeah. but you know what? As a church member, we don't want to become complacent either. As a Christian, we don't want to become complacent either. Going back to Romans again, and Romans chapter 6, I want to read to you Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. If you're taking notes today, put on your notes Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. Verse 11 says this, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying that one of the things that we do as Christians in order for us to actually continue to mature, to keep going forward and not looking back, and it's important that we want to be going forward and not backwards, he says that you have to consider yourselves dead to sin. Number one, you consider yourselves dead to sin, and number two, alive to God. It's two things that we need to do. Now, is this just a mindset? Are we just talking about a mindset? It is a mindset. It is talking about a mindset. But I want to tell you also, Paul is saying that we have the power to be able to accomplish this. We have been given the power because of Jesus Christ saving us. It's not my power. It's his. It's there. We have the ability to battle our flesh as a Christian. That's one of the changes that takes place. And so Paul says, consider yourselves dead to sin. And consider yourself alive to God. It is something that we have to, that the Word of God tells us, and he's saying that the Word of God tells us this, and we need to accept this by faith and live this by faith. Some people might say, well, fake it until I make it. No. This is the big difference here. This is saying that you have the power to do so. And we have that power. See it? It says, in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on in verse 12 and says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to obey its passions. He's saying that the sin tendencies are still there in our flesh, but he's saying to not let it reign in your body, not for it to be in charge. And so he's telling us that we actually move forward. This is, when he talks about moving forward, this is what he's talking about as far as moving forward as a Christian. question for all of us. Are we moving forward? Are we moving forward and moving forward in a way that we're actually not obeying the sin tendencies in our lives? Then verse 13, it goes on and says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. He's saying that there is a way of dedicating and surrendering our lives towards the efforts towards Jesus Christ and what His Word says. And those are the things that will propel us forward. And that's what he's talking about. We don't want to go back. And I got to tell you, if we don't do anything to go forward, it's not like you're just going to stay. You will go backwards. You will go back. And that's one of the things that he's telling us here. And then verse 14 says, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. That is such a wonderful statement, because there's so many people out there that think that being a Christian means that I'm checking all the boxes and I'm doing all the right things and I'm trying to get a good report card from God Himself. But he's telling us the thing that propels us towards growth is a term we see here that's grace, unmerited favor. We see what God has done for us. We see how God wants us to be better. We see how God wants us to grow. And what is our response? Wow, God cares for me. God wants my life to amount to something far better than what it was before. That's why we need to look forward and not backwards. And then we see verse 15, what then? Are we to sin because we're not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you're slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? He asked that question. Did you know this? It's the old story about which dog wins the dog fight, the one that gets fed the most, right? And that's what he's saying. He's saying that we feed our spirit. We feed our spirit with the things of God, and those are the things that will propel us forward. And we, by faith, go ahead and accept those things. If I was to tell you, or if you go to work and the boss tells you, this is how to do the job, this is how I want you to do it, then what do you do? You better do it that way, right? You better do it the way the boss told you to do it, because that's the one that will fire you or give you a raise, right? And so we look at this here, and God says there's a particular way for us to go about things. And if you'll go about those things, you will go forward. You will go forward. In other words, we won't get frustrated as a Christian and go, I'm just going to quit. Because how many times have we seen a lot of Christians that go, you know what, man, I'm just so tired of this battle against sin. I'm going to quit. Well, what happens when you quit? You quit and you go back to sin, and it eats you alive. It literally tears your life apart. And we can do better, and that's what Paul is saying. He's saying that we can do so much better. And so we see that he asked the question, which one are you serving? Are you serving sin? Are you serving the flesh? Now, one of the things that Peter tells us is that Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, he tells us to grow in grace and knowledge. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he tells us that we should grow in grace and knowledge. Let's talk about what that means for just a moment. Growing in grace and knowledge. Let's talk about what that means. Number one, when we grow in grace, we start realizing, man, it's not my goodness, it's not my good works, it's not those things. It's what God has done for me. It's what God can do for me. It's His power. And so when we grow in grace, we start living a life in faith and going, well, the Word of God says I should do this. And there's particular things that I should be doing according to the Word of God. That's how we grow in grace. We grow in dependence on Jesus Christ and knowledge. Grace and knowledge. Number one, realizing we aren't perfect in the flesh. We're not. But Jesus is. And so we still have the ability to win the battle whenever we're trusting Him. And knowledge. We put that grace and knowledge together, and we propel forwards, is what is being said here. It's saying goodbye to the hauntings. It's saying goodbye to the hauntings of the things that were in our past. So many people want to go back to their past, and one of the things that I'll tell you that the devil will do, he will try to remind us of some of the mistakes that we've made in times past. We'll be trying to serve Jesus, and then there'll be that voice saying, yeah, but remember when you did this? You're not worthy. You're a hypocrite. You're this, you're that. The devil will try to get on our heads and try to take us backwards. And what Paul is saying is we don't do that. He's saying, say goodbye to those hauntings that the devil wants to put out there and say hello to what the Word of God is telling us and accept it by God's grace, knowing that God wants what's best for you. Now, it requires proper focus, and that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that it requires proper focus, which leads to my second point here today, and that is this, that Satan would like for us to all live in the pains of our past. He wants us to go back to that. He wants us to go back to the things that were tearing us apart. You know, we talk about so many times when we hear someone's testimony, I used to do this, and I used to do that, and we hear the people, and some of the people sometimes almost sound like they were bragging or something. Man, I used to do this sin and used to do that sin. Stop bragging about it, right? But our minds like to go back to what we used to do and who we used to be and those kind of things. Satan wants our minds to go back to those things that were defeating us, that were destroying us. But Paul is telling us, and he's saying, that I may not be perfect, but I am pressing on forward in serving Jesus Christ. I'm not going to look back at these things. I want to tell you, one of the most important things that you can get out of this sermon today is to remember that whenever there's that voice inside of you that's saying, go back to your mistakes, go back to those things, and dwell on them, and let them destroy you. Paul's saying, don't do that, and go forward. In other words, some people that say, I am not worthy to be a Christian, or I guess I'm just not good enough to serve in a church like some other people. Let me tell you something. No matter what church you go to, you're sitting in a room full of sinners. That's a fact. And some people have just learned to press on forward through the knowledge of Jesus Christ more than some of the others. That's it. That's the only difference. You can do that too. And not only you can do that, you should do that. We must do that. That's for sure. Now here's something that I want to share with you also that's an important thing for you to get out of the sermon today, and that's the term forgetting what's behind. The term to forget. Paul says forgetting from what's behind. Let's talk about this word forget for a moment. In the Bible, when we see the word forget, it doesn't mean that it's wiped or we have the ability to wipe our mistakes from our memory. Has anybody found that to be true? Hey, listen. I want to tell you, there's a lot of things that we've done and a lot of mistakes that we've done, and we know that because we haven't forgotten. And so when it says to forget, it doesn't mean it's wiping from our memory. It means whenever you see the Word of God saying forgetting what's behind, it's saying wipe it, don't give it any attention. Not wiping from your memory, but don't give it any attention. Don't give it any attention. That's one of the things that I've got in a habit of doing whenever I feel like the devil's like going, hey, you think about when you did this and think about when you did that, and I start feeling bad about it. I go, man, I immediately start saying, Lord, help me and get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And I tell him to get away, and I start looking at what has God got for me now? And where does God want me to go from here? I can't do anything about what happened before. As a matter of fact, it's not my job to do so. That's what happened at salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins, and we put our trust in him, and he takes our sins, and he remembers them no longer. And if he's not going to remember them any longer, then I'm not going to dwell on them either. I'm going to move forward. And that's an important thing that Paul is sharing with us here, is that we're moving forward in the power of life and not living in the defeats of our past. That's for sure. You know, I know a guy, actually I've known quite a few people, but one came to my mind when I was like preparing this, and one of the things that he would always say is, you know, I've done so many bad things, Jesus can't save me. Anybody ever heard somebody say something like that? You know, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We talked about some of that stuff last week. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me tell you something. When we sin, it's not an offense against each other. It's an offense against God. So you may think that one sin is really big compared to some of the other people's sins, but when you look at a holy and righteous God, every sin is an offense against God. And so to sit there and to use a statement like, I've done so many bad things, I've done so many bad things that God can't save me. Yes, He can. And yes, He did pay for the price for all the sins. And yeah, we can talk about some really bad people and go, you mean that person? If they ask for forgiveness of their sins, they could be too? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Now, the self-righteous person says no, but the Word of God says yes. For every sin, Jesus can pay for those sins. And so it doesn't make any sense to sit there and to say that I've done too many bad things, and so God can't work in me. It's not possible. Jesus paid for every last one of them. And so one of the things that we look at here is once we're saved, we are delivered from our past. We've been delivered from our sins. We've been made righteous, but we aren't made righteous in our own righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness. And so Paul's saying we have hope as a Christian. And not only do we have hope, but we have power to actually start moving forward and not dwelling on those things in the past that were destroying us. And not only that, we shouldn't. If you've been born again, you should be moving forward. We should be growing. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, man, I'm still not perfect, but I'm certainly not where I used to be either. Which leads to my third and final point this morning. Paul says we are to press on. He says, I press on to the high calling of Jesus Christ. Now listen, when we talk about pressing on, everybody likes to be the winner, right? I'm a little bit crazy about it. Like, for example, if we would play kickball in the backyard, I would want to win. And it would drive me crazy if we didn't win. It's a stupid little habit that I have that actually gets on some people's nerves. I've had some people go, hey, can you just let it go? Can you just lose every once in a while and be happy about it? And I'd like to say, well, I guess I wish it was possible, but it just so far hasn't happened that way. But everyone likes to be the winner. But listen to this. In the Christian world, Paul is saying the one that wins as far as the race that we run, the one that gets all the way there, is the one that, despite what things are in their past, they keep going forward. And they get to the finish line. And it's not a sprint. And there are some challenges. If anybody has ever ran a mile or two or more than that, you know there's some points and times where you go, I think I'm going to quit. I think I'm going to stop right here. I can't hardly breathe right now. One of the things that we used to have to do is when we'd be training, we'd have to run up Cleveland Hill in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And Cleveland Hill was like this. And it's like, man, I don't know when you get to the top of this stupid mountain. I don't know when you get to the top of it. Because it would be like 5 minutes and you're still running and looking up. And 10 minutes, it seemed like you were still going up that hill. And you'd want to quit. But Paul is saying that we don't quit. We're to press on. We're to keep pressing on and to keep pushing on all the way to the end. How many Christians say, man, I got saved, I'm born again, hallelujah, and now I quit? We've seen them, we've been around them, and I just want to tell you, the church today, that we can't quit. As a matter of fact, I look at right now at where we are with the construction going on and the different things that are going on, and we keep wanting more and more people to where we can actually influence and have more people work for the glory of God, and sometimes it makes you want to quit. When you look around and go, man, just I don't see enough progress. But Paul says, and the Word of God says, our God says to press on, to keep moving forward, and don't quit. Christian life is the life that we do it till the very end. I don't care how great a person might be about, I used to share the gospel with people. I used to go to here and do this and share. What about now? We didn't stop. If you're still here, that means that we haven't experienced the resurrection yet. We are, and that's going to be tremendous. But in the meantime, we don't quit. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. And I'm going to read 14 through 16 as we get down to my final point of we are to press on. Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to see this here. Paul saying, rather than looking back and going back and being defeated, I'm going to keep pressing on to the prize. What's the prize? It is the call of God in Christ Jesus. It's the call. Whenever we became a Christian, Jesus said, hey, let's do some things. Let's get some things done. And I want you to notice that he says it was a call. It wasn't like, if you can work it in your planner, if you can put it in your planner, then maybe we could do a little of this. No, he's saying it's a call. When we became a Christian, we were called to accomplish great things. And he goes on and says, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Paul is saying, if you're really growing in Christ, if you're really, truly growing, then you're pressing on. You're not quitting. Now, as I was doing this, I got thinking, you know, I thought about the verse in John where Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. And then I read this, and Paul's saying, man, press on. You know, we got to keep, you can't quit. And it's confusing. But it's not confusing. What I want you to see here is the fact that the Bible's talking about a balance, a particular balance. And I want to talk to you about what this balance is. The balance is this. The power of God is through His Word. And we're to trust God's Word. We're to trust God's Word. And so part of the balance that we're talking about, number one, is trusting in God's Word. That's God's Word speaking to your soul, showing us what we need to be doing. And then our response is, yes, Lord, that's what we do. That's the first part of this thing that's in balance. But the second thing is that when we're born again, we're given a holy initiative. So you put holy initiative and you put God's Word together, and it propels us forward. And it's through Jesus Christ. How is that through Jesus Christ? You get your holy initiative from faith. Our initiative is faith. God gives us faith. We don't develop it. It's not like, I have faith that I can do this. That's not it. Faith is something that God gives. True faith. It's something that God gives. He gives us the ability to trust His Word. How do I know? Well, if you've been born again, here's my challenge to you. Read God's Word, and rather than going, no, can't do it, try this. If God says I can do it, I can do it. And see if you haven't been given faith. And so there's that balance there. When Jesus says, without Him, we can do nothing, He is absolutely correct. And He's saying we do it through obeying His Word and with the faith that He gives us. Faith makes us, rather than sit there and go, I don't think I want to do that. Faith makes us go, He said to do it, I'm going to do it. And we go on. We move forward. So that's the balance that He's talking about. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we're a new creation, that everything has become new, and the old things are in the rearview mirror. They're gone. He tells us that we have been given the ability to do this thing called the Christian life. He's given us the ability to grow, to press on. This pressing on is not like, oh, I can do it. It's like, I'm going to trust God that I can do it. And then we can do it. And that's what it's telling us. You know, we should never become so confident as a Christian. We should never become so, what I'll call, overconfident that we lose our holy drive. And our Christian life becomes, I've been living the Christian life long enough where I know what God's Word says, and I know I have faith, but I'm never turning back now because I'm so wonderful. The Bible tells us to take heed lest you fall. We always have to be dependent on God's Word. We always have to obey His Word by faith. We always have to take these steps forward. Otherwise, the next thing you know is we're going to be doing it in our own power, and the next thing you know is we're going to be like going back to our flesh, and we will be going backwards. And the devil will start speaking about, hey, you remember that time? And the next thing you know, he's in your head, and you quit. And we quit. But Paul says we don't quit. We press on. We press on. Put in your notes 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God says, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness." And the Word of God's telling us that that our godliness is a training. It's a training of operating through faith and taking God's Word and accepting it by faith. It's a training. And this is what Paul is saying, is we have to continue to press on with our training. He's saying, "I'm not mature, but I'm getting more mature, and we got to keep doing that till the day that we actually are resurrected." Amen? "Rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." He says that I know, here we are in January, and there's a bunch of new gym attenders, right? There's a bunch of people going, it's January, I'm going to go back to the gym, and this is the year that I lose the weight, and this is the year that I am in shape like never before, and all of those things. And Paul says, you know, that does some good. It's good for something. It's good for not having a heart attack, maybe, possibly, or something like that, right? Or maybe it's good for us to not be as fat as we used to be, or whatever. It has some good, is what he says. But he says, what really does us more good than anything, look at that. What does more good than anything and actually adds value in our life and holds promise for us is the fact that when we train for godliness, when we go to God's gym, we train in God's gym, and that's the Word of God, and obeying it, and not just obeying it, but stepping out on faith and knowing that it's true because God spoke to us. He's saying the more that we do that, that's the thing that's going to give us benefit. But he says it's not just going to give us benefit by the fact that we'll benefit from it when we get to heaven. Do you see it? He says in the present life too. It will help us now as we move forward, and it will benefit us later too. Now, you can go to the gym all you want to, and that's great, and you should, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. But I just want to tell you that when we get to heaven, we'll get a new body anyway. Right? So the most important thing that we can do in January and for the rest of this year and for the rest of our lives is to press on with this godliness training that Paul is talking about. Call. When he talks about a call, when Paul talks about a call, it's an ongoing word. It's an action word. It's an action word. Call is not like, hello, you know, or anything like that. It's a call. It's like God says, "I charge you to do this. I charge you to go forward." It's a call. You have it. Every one of us has a call to serve Jesus Christ. It's an upward call. And I just want to tell you, we're not home yet. Right? We're not home yet. And that's what Paul's saying. We're not home yet, but you have a call. Doesn't matter whether you're perfect or not. What matters is that you're growing. Isn't that comforting to know that you don't have to be perfect? I know there's a lot of people watching going, "Oh, these Christians, they're not perfect." You're darn right we're not, but we are growing, I hope. You know, one of the saddest things that we see in the Christian world is those that burn hot for Jesus, and then they fade away, right? They're a flash in the pan. They're a flash in the pan. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Hebrews is telling us that we've had so many examples, the cloud of witnesses, we've had so many examples of people in the Bible that have done what? They served God, they pressed on all the way to the end. In other words, what you're hearing today is not something new. It's been done before, and it can be done again. And that's what it's saying. And so what it's saying is that we have examples of that, and if they can have victory over their sin, and they can mature, and they can grow, and they can bring glory to God in their lives, so can we. And it goes on and says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." What makes us press forward? What makes us press forward? It's the cross of Jesus and his power. It's the thing that makes me not want to quit. I look at what Jesus has done for me, and I see that what Jesus has done for me has given me the ability to press on through, to overcome my past and my imperfections, and I can continue to grow. I'm telling you today, brothers and sisters, that the Word of God's not telling us that as a Christian you're supposed to be perfect and your doo-doo doesn't stink. I'm sorry I said that. It's done now, right? What I am telling you is the Bible is telling us that we can grow. We can keep going. We can keep going. We don't have to quit. We have power to do so. Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that it'll make a difference in our lives. Lord, I pray that every person here today, if they know you already as your son, as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they will not quit. They will keep growing, and they will keep pressing on. And Lord, we see in your word that that's what we're to be doing. And Father, we know that we have the power to do so. And we know that you've given us the power to overcome our flesh by trusting your word and obeying it through faith that you've given us. You even give us the ability to trust it. And so, Lord, we want to receive that, and we want to live that, and we want to serve you to the very end until we go on into the resurrection. And Father, we know in your word that it tells us that that's so. And Father, I pray if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray they wouldn't leave here today without, by the faith that you'd be giving them from hearing your word today, Lord, they would be willing to surrender and let you save them today because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, had done on the cross to pay for their sins. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunity to be your servants. We thank you.
Thanks for joining us for our morning service. If you live in Midland or the surrounding area, we hope to see you in person. We are located at 1305 North Midland Drive, south of the Andrews Highway and north of Cuthbert Street. We are also distributing copies of the Lives of Jesus DVD. If you'd like a copy, our email address is ahbcmidland@gmail.com. Have a great week, and may God bless.
The call that you give us. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.